KYW News Radio Original Podcasts.
A Portuguese-inspired European corner bar opens in South Philly.
The owner, one of the other owners, Chris, his mom is Portuguese. Sadly, she passed away last year, and we all took a really wonderful trip to Portugal together, went back to her home. Chris and Heather were able to show me some of their favorite spaces, and that was a huge creative burst for us, a huge creative inspiration for a lot of things that we're doing here.
And the owners say the idea for this bar came to them a long time ago.
About 8 years ago, I want to say.
Wait, this is eight years in the making?
This is so long in the making, yes.
But it's finally open now.
This is a podcast about food in and around Philadelphia.
That's a quick, delicious, flavorful bite.
It was really hard for me to get into it.
Stories from behind the kitchen.
This is a wood-burning oven from Italy.
It is intense.
And hear about quirky stuff, too.
Eat a pint of ice cream as quickly as you can, and then resume the 5K.
This is What's Cooking on KYW.
I'm Hadass Kuznets at the brand new Grace and Proper, 941 South 8th Street. It's a restaurant in South Philly, just one block off of the Italian Market. And I'm with partner Susan Freeman and general manager Ryan Rayer. So Susan, tell me about getting the building and what made you want to come here? What inspired you to open this restaurant?
Sure, yeah. Well, I work with a wonderful team. Chris and Heather own the building here. They have an eye for great architecture and basically good bones. So they've had their eye on this building for some time now and have owned it at this point, I think 8 years. But yeah, I mean, as soon as they saw it, they knew they had to have it.
What does Grace and Proper stand for? It's a restaurant.
It is. Yeah, well, more of a bar, bar with food. It stands for graceful service, proper beverages. It's the embodiment of comfortable casual service, really.
Like food done right?
Food done right, yeah. Definitely drinks done right, too.
Yeah. So I thought it might be like a name of somebody.
Yeah, no, it's no one's name. It's more about what the space feels like to us. Yeah.
Graceful and proper.
Yes, yeah.
Okay, Grace and Proper. So you want to just kind of give us the highlights of the menu? What is the theme of the restaurant?
Sure, yeah. It's definitely a European neighborhood bar, European corner bar. Some highlights of the menu, it's really snack-type items, a few substantial sandwiches. We've got a beautiful layered calabrese salami and truffle potato chip dish that's my personal favorite. Meats and cheeses, the bifanha, a classic Portuguese pork sandwich, I think is also going to be a star of the show. Something to eat with just about any beverage.
So it's Portuguese food?
Yeah, but Portuguese leaning. I wouldn't pigeonhole us into saying it's 100% Portuguese, but it's definitely a huge influence here. It's pretty much broadly Iberian, European. Yeah.
What would you say is like a staple dish here?
I really do think that the bifanha might be the one of the stars of the show. Yeah. Like I said, my personal favorite with the truffle chips and meat, I think we're going to see that ordered often.
What is a bifanha?
It's a marinated pork sandwich on classic Portuguese bread. The pork is marinated in garlic, white wine, onions, and then that's kind of slow cooked and sliced. It's almost Portugal's version of like a John's roast pork or something like that. So there are some loose similarities there.
And Ryan Rayer is the general manager. Now, Ryan, I understand you have a really good grasp of the history of the building.
Yeah, so Grace and Proper here at 941 South 8th Street has a lot of rich history. So starting in 1893, a man by the name of Gennaro Tito Manlio arrived in Philadelphia, and he lived at 938 South 8th Street, which is right across the way from us. And then the traditional Italian market story goes from there. In 1920, he built the building that we're standing in here, ran his pharmacy in the first floor, and his family lived in the second and third floor, operated the business until the 50s, and then the building and the space was acquired by a man named Salvatore Grasso, in which he operated delicatessen until the early to mid 1980s, and then the space was vacant from there. So it was a beautiful space. It is this just corner property that has amazing hexagonal mosaic tile, original tin ceilings, amazing exposed brick, and it was just sitting here. And now One of the traditions that GT Manlio, whose name is actually still in the front of the building on our tile, which is something we really love and appreciate, he had a real knack for hospitality. So yearly at Christmas time, he would invite notable pharmacists from the area, and he would throw his quote-unquote druggist parties. It's my understanding that the parties were very Gatsby-esque, very 1920s high society, you know, exactly what you'd see in the movies. And he just had a great dinner with his family, his friends, people from the community. And just given that that is the history of this space, we really want to embody that type of hospitality. As much as we have really, really interesting dishes, we want to do things that are approachable and neighborhoody. And, you know, we're your neighbor. You know, we're the guys on the corner that have the cool drinks, the bifania, the meat and chips. You know, we want to have an amazing build-your-own charcuterie experience that, you know, you just like you would have with your friends. And a lot of friendly talk and time went into making this menu. So we really feel like we're continuing on GT Manlio's legacy. In a way, it's a lot of fun, yeah.
What kind of research did you have to do to get this information?
So it was a little bit of picking around the web. The Philadelphia History Society actually had a great story about the history of this space. So I got a little bit of cliff notes and I was able to dive a little bit deeper from there. I found out a little bit more about his history, finding out that he got here in 1893, and just the slow process of getting this building built. That was a cool little bit to learn about.
Knowing the history of the building, how does it feel to be in here?
It feels amazing, you know, just to be standing in a space that's existed for over 100 years now and to be doing something that's so new age and cool. It's really special, you know, to see the way that a historic space can transform, and the fact that we're in here and we're able to let people in to celebrate the space is really special to us, among all.
How would you characterize the restaurant? What kind of a feel is it? What is the style of food? And what would people come here for?
Yeah, so we're calling it a come-as-you-are Eurobar. Come just as you are, sit wherever you like, come to the bar and order whenever you're hungry or thirsty. The feel of the space, like I said, I really feel like we have an excellent spread of really build-your-own charcuterie. You know, we're not doing composed boards. We're going to be selling meats and cheeses by the plate, and we have a lot of different snacks available. My favorite is the pickled marinated rainbow carrots. We have lupini beans. We have some olives, but we also have some more substantial dishes. We have a meatball dish that we're really proud of. We have a couple sandwiches. So it really is a place that you can come every different day of the week and have a completely different experience. We have the spread for that. We have the range for that. And speaking of range, we have so many products at our disposal that we were able to, alongside $50 Mezcal flights, we're able to have, you know, $5 bottles of Miller High Life, because that's who we are. You know, we appreciate the finer things, but we know who we are.
You're a corner bar.
We're a corner bar, and we're your neighbor.
A neighborhood bar.
Yeah.
Talk about the drinks. I know that you mentioned you had some, like, really properly done cocktails.
Yeah, we have a number of cool things going on. One drink that I am particularly fond of is called the Good Giving and Game. We are infusing saffron into our house gin, and then we are making a cocktail with some honey and lime with it. And we're actually topping it with 24 karat gold. So there's a lot of different gold accents in this space, and it only made sense for us to have a drink that sparkled the way the building does.
There is a lot of gold in this building. So is it edible gold?
It is edible gold.
Yeah.
Yes. It's actually interesting because it doesn't change the taste of the drink, but you feel so much more special when there's gold on your cocktail.
It's very festive.
It is, yes. It's very on brand for us. So that one's fun. We are very proud of the fact that we were able to get Superbock on draft, which is Portugal's lager, so to speak. We're serving it just the way they do in Portugal. 8-ounce glasses served cold, you know, consumed quickly, perfect with a little ashtray of corn nuts. It's our little complimentary snack we're giving out as well.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah.
And so your price point, it looks like it ranges between, what, 4 and 25?
Yeah. You know, our dishes, food-wise, range between $7 and $16. And then, you know, our most expensive cocktail is $14, you know, which in a city like Philadelphia, with so much going on in the food and beverage game, you know, it was important to us to have products that we were really, really proud of in an approachable space with an approachable menu. Like I said, we're really proud of the range we have.
How do you feel coming out of the pandemic? I know a lot of restaurants were saying that they were having trouble sourcing their products and, you know, just kind of had to manage and adjust.
Yeah, you know, in food and beverage, that's really the name of the game. It always has been, but never more as seriously as it is now. You know, we are excellent at rolling with the punches. And, you know, when you're sourcing a menu that's this size that you're looking to put out in this manner, the game has always been the same. It's always been finding the right thing at the right price with the right taste and the right vibe. And it might be a little more difficult than it used to be, but we're more inspired than we've ever been. So we love the challenge.
So Susan or Ryan, what is your connection to Portugal?
So the owner, one of the other owners, Chris, his mom is Portuguese. Sadly, she passed away last year, and we all took a really wonderful trip to Portugal together, went back to her home. Chris and Heather were able to show me some of their favorite spaces, and that was a huge creative burst for us, a huge creative inspiration for a lot of things that we're doing here. We saw so many corner bars that were, the bartender was at least 70 years old, really like catering to the neighborhood. The same people would come in every day, watch their soccer, read the paper, have their, you know, their favorite things to drink and eat. And then the food we were seeing at these places too was like, as soon as the cook would come in at whatever time they wanted to come in, they would make whatever they wanted. And it was some of the best things we'd ever had. Little fried salted cod balls, definitely plenty of bifanas there, and lots of cold super bock.
Did you already have the idea in your head that you wanted to open a Portuguese-inspired restaurant when you went to Portugal, or did the trip inspire the menu?
No, we had already talked about together opening a place that was basically a place in Europe that, you know, we wish we had here. So the trip to Portugal was after the creative decision.
What are you looking forward to now with the opening of Grace and Proper?
Oh, geez. I'm so excited for everyone to see how much hard work has gone into this space. I'm excited for people to see not only the natural beauty of the actual space, but for them to experience the excitement that all the staff has to basically deliver what we've been working on for so long.
And Ryan, do you have any highlights that you want to mention about the restaurant?
Sure. So this is actually my first foray into Portuguese cuisine, but I've learned so much, and I've learned that the most important part is that it's not what you eat, it's how you eat it and how you enjoy it. And I think that's something that we really embody here, which I think is really special. And, you know,
what do you mean?
So,
like with family, with friends?
Yeah, with family, with friends, just the size of the dishes, the amount that you would be eating. It's about trying a lot of different things, sharing what you think about everything. You know, it's all about conversation, which I think that, you know, speaking of the pandemic, for so long, we weren't able to get together with our friends in person to enjoy a meal. And now that we get to open this concept, I just think it's that much more special. You know, we have so many people from around the neighborhood that have been walking by anxiously awaiting our opening. Know a lot of them by name. They know us by name. And, you know, just the excitement that they have is the same as ours. And the fact that we're able to invite them in and enjoy this space, it's so highly anticipated, both by us and by them.
How long did the renovations take, and what did you do?
Well, renovations started and stopped so many times.
Is that a COVID?
It really was. We've had so many,
It's like that's the excuse for everything. Oh, COVID.
Yeah, it's really true. Yeah, I mean, we were full steam ahead, and then, you know, the shutdown happened. We've had a handful of starts and stops, so I feel like construction went in spurts. And
when did you start? When did you purchase, or did you purchase the building? The owners owned it.
Right. About 8 years ago, I want to say.
Wait, this is 8 years in the making?
This is so long in the making, yes.
So they bought the building with the idea that you want to have a restaurant. They didn't just buy it and held on to it and then decided later. You knew for 8 years?
Yeah, we really did. A lot of it comes from not rushing anything, really taking care of what was happening in this building already, trying to preserve things. A lot of what you see is kind of original restored, not so much new things brought in.
So what did this space look like when you took it over?
Nothing like this. Nothing like this.
I mean, you had to build the bar.
Yep. The bar was brought in. A lot of this stuff Chris and Heather, you know, need to have full credit for. They're really, really resourceful when it comes to design and restoration. Finding the beauty in existing things, and really this is their vision kind of come to life.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you so much.
Anything else you want to add?
Gosh, we're excited.
Yeah.
Can't wait to have you in.
All right. Susan Freeman is the partner of Grace and Proper at 941 South 8th Street. And Ryan Rayer is the general manager. Ask him any historical questions, and he might actually have an answer.
I might be able to help you out.
Congratulations on your opening, you guys.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
That's it for this episode of What's Cooking on KYW. You can follow the show and get other delicious tidbits on Instagram at foodinthe215. And follow me on Twitter and Facebook for more news and insights at Hadas Kuznets. If you have a food tip or feedback about the show, reach out. And please take a moment to help us by rating and reviewing the show on iTunes. It helps us to keep making the podcast and get it to new listeners. I'm Hadas Kuznets, and that's What's Cooking.